Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3, and let's read this in faith. John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18. And when you get there, say amen. I'm going to read from the King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to read John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Hallelujah. Now let's turn over to James chapter 2. I want to just pick up here, kind of start here, and then we're going to go another few other places. James chapter 2, and let's start in verse 17. Well, actually, I'm going to read from verse 14. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, we know what the answer is. No. Now, I want to read this also. I'm going to just pull this up here. I like the New Century Version of this particular translation. And it's, I'll get it here in a minute. I'll read verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Let me read that from a few other translations. This is the New English Bible. It says, so with faith, if it does not lead to action, it is in itself a lifeless thing. So faith must lead to an action. Would you say amen? This is another translation. It's called the WAND translation, W-A-N-D. It says, so faith, if it does not issue in act, expires with itself. So there needs to be an action, otherwise it's lifeless. It does not, another way you could say it is, faith that does not have an action doesn't produce any fruit. So faith, if it does not act, is dead. What does that mean? Doesn't produce anything. Doesn't produce any fruit. This is the New Century Version. It says, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. So you could say faith that doesn't act is worth nothing. That sounds kind of hard, but that's Scripture. We're reading Scripture here, would we not say so? Amen. Faith that doesn't act is worth nothing. Amen. So, let me read here. This is James 2, I'm going to read verse 26 in the King James. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is God's word translation. A body that doesn't breathe is dead. In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead. That means it's worth nothing. It's dead. It's a corpse. It has no life to it. The Message translation says, the very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, or you could say faith and an action, and you get the same thing, a corpse. It's dead. It's worth nothing. Does that everybody get that? This is the Way translation. For just as a human body without a spirit is lifeless, so also faith is lifeless if it is unaccompanied by obedience. So the minute we see something, the minute we know something to do, then we're to act upon it, not based on our feelings. Faith, we're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Or you could say sight, feeling, what we see, what we feel, touch, smell. We're not to operate by that. We're to operate by the Word of God, by faith. So that means if Jesus said we're to love one another just as I have loved you, then you don't have to pray about that. Let me think about that. No, faith that doesn't act and reach out and love is lifeless. It's dead. And faith, when it's acted upon, causes. See, sometimes people are waiting for something to happen, and then they'll feel motivated, or I feel like loving that person, or it feels like I should do something for this person. When you act in faith because the Word says so, then the power of God is there. It's activated to assist you in that area, to give you the grace to love. But up to that point, you may not have the grace to love. You're just looking at the outward and going, uh-uh, no way, I'm not doing that. But faith that takes a step and says, I'm going to do that, regardless of how I feel, the grace is there to empower you to love, to do the things that God has required us to do. Would you say amen?
Amen.
So one of the things I want to do is look at that. We've been talking about acting, faith that takes. And I want to look at something today. And let's turn over to Psalm 34. And let's look at this for a little bit. Let it register on your heart. Psalm 34, and let's look at the first few verses. And I'm going to read from the King James. I will, see, so this is his soul's involved here. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he did what? He heard me. And what else did he do? He delivered me from what? All my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Hallelujah. Verse 8, oh, taste and see. Yeah, he is good when you get delivered. Hallelujah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is what? No want to them that fear him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So one of the things I wanted to look at is that looking at faith has a sound, does it not? When faith is stirred, faith that's stirred in my heart is going to do what? It's going to say something. It's going to express something. And when I'm convinced that God is going to do something on my behalf, I can do what? I can give him thanks and I can give him praise because I'm expecting it to come to pass. Hallelujah. I'm trusting him. This is my faith, my confidence at work. So the sound of faith, there should be some praise. There should be some thanksgiving. Hallelujah. I don't see it yet, but I know it's coming. It's like this. We've got the harvest out here in this church, and we know it's coming. So we can thank God. We can say, thank you, Father. The harvest of souls is coming. The harvest of finances is coming. But it doesn't look like it. Doesn't matter. I trust him. I believe God. Hallelujah. So we can see here that our faith should, when it's stirred, there should be some thanksgiving and praise. Amen. How? Continually. Well, I'm working all the time. Well, you ought to be continually, there ought to be something. You know, I thought about this when we were growing up. A lot of our homes that we grew up in, our parents, either our mother or father or both, they had a song on their heart, didn't they? And a lot of times it was a song that they were singing in tough times, wasn't it? And there was a song. You know, sometimes we're missing that in this generation. There's too much television, too much cell phones, and all of these what we call distractions. And we're not in the home to hear a lot of times what the Lord is speaking in the hearts of our parents. Is that true? And so when we heard our parents singing the songs of praise and thanksgiving, there was deliverance in the homes. Hallelujah. And the children saw it. Did it have an impact on us? It affected us when we were growing up. Hallelujah. So there ought to be a song in our heart and a song on our lips. What kind of song? Faith-filled songs. Faith-filled words of praise and blessing. Hallelujah. Now there was, I'll jump over there in a minute. Turn to Psalm 22. I want to look at this for a minute. Psalm 22. You know, when we're talking about being in the presence of the Lord and sometimes going through what I call the motions of life, sometimes folks can get stuck in a place where, you know, it's like, well, what do they say? Same old, right? Well, the way to get out of the same old mentality is to have a song, be in the presence of the Lord. What do I mean by that? Stir yourself up with a song. Stir yourself up with praise. And what will happen? The peace of God will come. And do what? Guard your heart and your mind from the things that are distracting you in life. Well, I don't feel like it. That's the problem. You need to just make a choice to sing praises. Why? Because God is good. And you know He's going to deliver you. Hallelujah. He's going to bring the resources that you need. Hallelujah. So let's look at Psalm 22. And let's look at Psalm 22 and verse 3. Says, "But thou art holy, O thou that what? Inhabitest the praises of Israel." I like verse 4. What does verse 4 say? "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them." Hallelujah. We've got a better covenant. He delivered them. Well, how much more will our Father deliver us? He's already delivered us from the power of darkness. And our praises will push back the darkness. I like this as the New Living Translation. It says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." So He manifests Himself in our praise. Hallelujah. What manifests? The peace of God. The presence of God. How many have experienced that? In other words, you come into a church service and the praises of God are being sung and you sense what? We all say, "I sense the presence of God." It's peace. The peace of God is present. And a lot of times people come in with all kinds of things going on in their mind and turmoil and so forth, and they walk out and they feel better. Because the peace of God has been manifested, the presence of God. Well, we ought to take that home. Keep music playing. Keep a song playing in your home. Amen. It creates, your praise will create an atmosphere in that home, not only in you, but in your home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4. These are some New Testament scriptures. Familiar with these? Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing," or "be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Well, we know if there's going to be prayer, it's got to be done in what? No, I said, if there's going to be prayer, it's going to be done in what? Faith. Yeah, you're going to have thanksgiving, but you're going to pray. It's going to be in faith. Otherwise, nothing's going on. "So in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." That means what? When I pray in faith, I can now expect something, so I'm giving thanks. Why? Because I'm expecting it to come. I'm expecting it. I'm looking for it, and I'm thanking Him for it. Hallelujah. So I'm giving thanksgiving. "Let your" what? "Your requests be made known unto God." And what happens? This says, "And the peace of God, which" what? "Passeth all understanding," does what? It keeps your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So when we pray and then we offer up thanksgiving, this says here, "And the peace of God." So I can expect the peace of God to come in and to do what? Keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. You just got a bad report. Offer up thanksgiving. You know, I share these sometimes, I reflect sometimes on personal things that have happened to me. I was, one story I shared with you years ago where I just decided to laugh one day. This wasn't something the Holy Ghost, you know, a lot of times we start out in faith. I remember, you know, it reminds me of how Pastor Clinton used to say he'd start at the piano. He'd ask us, pick 10 songs. And sometimes he'd start in with them or use them, and sometimes he wouldn't. But a lot of times he'd say, I just sit down at the piano because I've had a long day like you. And I don't feel too anointed, is what he'd say. I don't feel too anointed. We don't go by feelings. And so we sit down and we do what? We start where we are and we start to do what? Sing the praises of God. Sing the thanksgivings and praises. And what happens? His presence, his peace comes in, and he does what? He then begins to work and operate through us. Amen. That's how Pastor Clint operated a lot of times. And so I was at home, had a high fever, very high, should have gone to the hospital. And I decided that day, I'm going to laugh at the symptoms. And I started to laugh as best I could. That's the best I'll tell you. As best I could. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, as they say, a little wheel started to stir. And it started to stir, and I started to laugh a little more and a little more and a little more till I got into a full Holy Ghost laughter. And I'm home, and that full Holy Ghost laughter went on for a bit. And then when it started to subside, the Holy Ghost spoke. See? Because the presence of God was there. And sometimes we need to just do that. We need to stir ourselves up and begin to offer up praise and thanksgiving. Why? Just because he's good. For the Lord is good. It isn't about how you feel or what you have or don't have. You're saved. You're bought with his precious blood. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into his kingdom. And all the covenant promises are available to us. I can just thank him and bless him. He protects me. The angel of the Lord encamps about those that fear him. I reverence him. So his angels and the angel of the Lord encamps around me. Hallelujah. He's given me the Holy Spirit who lives and abides and dwells in me, comforts me, directs me every day. How can we not be thankful? So this says here, as we're thankful, this says here, after our requests are made known with thanksgiving, the peace of God, his presence, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, just over a few pages. Colossians 3, and look at verse 15. And it says, and let the peace of God do what? Rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So here, this says here, when we offer up thanksgiving in Philippians, this says here, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. This says here, let the peace of God do what? Rule in your heart. To the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. So peace, we're talking about the presence of God. We're talking about the peace of God that's resident and directing us, keeping our hearts. Let me read this You want to know how important that is and how important thanksgiving is and praise. It stirs up the peace of God in our hearts. Not fear and anxiety and frustration. But listen to this. This is in the Good News Translation. It says, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions that you make. The peace of God, or the peace that Christ gives, is to guide you in the decisions that you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in one body, and be thankful. That word rule in the King James, that Greek word, means to be an umpire, to decide or determine, to direct or control. So peace is to guide us. Peace should be the umpire in the decisions that we make. So when we have to make a decision, you know, we have classes on being led by the Spirit of God. Peace should be the one guiding you. Amen. He's peace. And when you don't have peace, put it alone. Leave it alone. Put it down. Brother Hagin, before he left, he said, the last time Jesus appeared to him, he said to him, I'm no longer going to appear to you this way ever again. He said, the primary way that I lead my church is through the inward witness. And that inward witness is peace. And so Brother Hagin would say it in many different ways that he did, but he would say, you know, when I had to make a decision, he said, it just felt like I was taking a shower with my socks on. Well, it didn't feel right. No peace. So peace. How am I saying this? Just what the good news is saying. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. So there should be peace. You have to make choices every day. Peace should guide you. His peace. So that's why it's important that when we have to make decisions in life, we let the peace of God rule in our heart. How do we do that? Constantly, it says, magnify with him. Magnify his name constantly, continually, right? Bless the Lord at all times. His praise is continually in my mouth. So that what? The peace of God is ruling and reigning in my heart and mind. So that when I have to make decisions, I'm not in turmoil. I'm not in frustration. I'm not in anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. See? So let the peace of God. Pray in tongues more. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up your most holy faith. Stir that up. Have a song. And that song will stir up the peace and presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's more important now than ever. And the things that are going on, the distractions, the things that the devil wants to draw you in, do you have peace about watching that? Do you have peace about letting that go through your eyes and your ears? What is that doing down here? You know, you can become so numb that you don't let the peace of God rule in your heart. You need to watch your friends and what you read and what you listen to. Is that give you peace? Because I'll tell you, things that I used to look at, things that we used to do, because I haven't done it for so many, many years, when I hear it, it goes, That doesn't give me peace. It does something on the inside, right? No peace. That should be your guide today. When you have to go and make choices, see, this is so critical now to keep a song and to magnify the Lord. It could mean the difference between you living and dying. Being in the right place and not being in the right place. Making a wrong choice and going bankrupt. Buying things that you shouldn't buy. Do you have peace? See, that's what we're talking about. Letting the peace of God rule. Let it be the umpire, not your thinking. Let that be the guide. Amen. Glory to God. Turn over to Proverbs 3. Just kind of share some thoughts here. Proverbs chapter 3. And when you get down, start looking at verse 13. And it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding." So we're talking about the context of this is wisdom. Okay? So verse 14, "For the merchandise of it," what? Wisdom, "is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold," the gain of wisdom. Verse 15, "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor." Look at verse 17. "Her ways," whose ways? Wisdom's ways, "are ways of pleasantness," look what it says, "and all her paths are peace." So if you say, well, the wisdom of God led me to do this, do you have peace about it? And of course, I'm also saying in that it lines up with God's word, because if it's wisdom, it better line up with God's word, if it's the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So in today's society that we live in, and the times that we live in, peace needs to be your guide. The peace of God. So many times I make it almost what I would call a mental choice when we have to make a choice, either personally or ministry. I look on the inside. Do I have peace about this? And if I don't, then we sit. Pastor Greg, if we don't have peace about it, we sit and wait. Now, can you make mistakes? Yes. You can miss it. But the more you spend time in the Word of God, the more you spend time praying in the Spirit, the more you spend time lifting up a song and praise, your heart will have peace in it, and it'll be a good guide. You know, these are invaluable things. You know, some folks, they already... You know the Spirit. He lives in you. You know Him. Sometimes it's His ways that we're sometimes unfamiliar. We're learning. And we need to learn His ways. And one of His ways is leading us by peace. Amen. They're not hard We just need to spend time listening. And sometimes we've made choices. We all have. Everyone in here has made a choice, and you just made the choice, but when you reflect back, you say, you know what? I didn't have a peace about that. How many have done that? We all have. And when you reflect back and it didn't go as well as you planned or thought, you look at it and say, you know what? I didn't have peace about that to begin with. And I just did it because I thought it was the right thing to do, or whatever we thought. Right? But we need to let peace rule. What does that mean? Let it be the umpire. Let it be the one that guides us. This is his presence guiding us. Hallelujah. And how often are we supposed to do that? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. So as I make this comment here, this final point, that this sound of faith, when you think about this, faith-filled words, we were talking about that the last time I was with you, that when God gave directions to Joshua, when he gave the direction for those carrying the ark to step down into the Jordan, as soon as they touched that water, as soon as they touched it, the waters parted. Well, as soon as we release faith filled words, something is changing. Well, when my praise is filled with faith, when my thanksgiving is filled with faith, it's affecting something in the heavenlies and on my behalf. So we need to let that rule our hearts. Let the faith of God, the praises of God, and the peace of God lift and guide us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. So you can see here, even in when you look in the New Testament, what happened when they were incarcerated? They were put in stocks. What did they do? They lifted up their voice at midnight, sang praises unto God. Hallelujah. And God showed up. Deliverance came. So when we continue to do that, when we lift up our songs of praise, deliverance is expected. Peace is expected to reign and guide us. Hallelujah. Say this. As we get ready to finish here, say this: I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Say it again: I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Say it again: I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Because the greater one lives in me. He's greater. God lives in me. God is greater in me than any circumstance. His peace in me guides me. It rules and reigns in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it's fine for us to do it here. It stirs us up. But when you don't feel like it, that's the time you need to say it. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. I will not quit. The greater one lives in me. When all of your faculties and your mind and your heart just says, you know what, enough of this. I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm discouraged. You say, no, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Say it in faith. Grit your teeth and say it. The more you say it, it becomes alive and real in you, and you begin to realize, wait a minute, God lives in me. The greater one lives in me. The one that's trying to get me to quit, he's been defeated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It sounds basic, but I like what Pastor Greg says. He playing basketball, and even me, when I went through race car driving school, they drilled basics into us at high speed. You better stick to the basics, or you're crashing. And we were drilled into us. I can remember it now. The basic things that they told us to do at high speed. I won't bore you with them, but I can rattle them off. Because basics are what are going to carry you through. And faith and love and peace are going to get us through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Let's say this again. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Hallelujah. Say that in confidence. That's your faith speaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for stirring our hearts. Your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish what you've designed it to do. And we thank you that the word has been sown in our hearts, so it shall reap a harvest. It shall produce its living faith in us. And Father, we thank you today for stirring our hearts, moving us to a higher place in you. We commit to stir our hearts up daily, to keep a song of faith and thanksgiving in our lips, stirring our hearts, Father. And we thank you that our faith-filled words will move mountains of discouragement, move us to places that have seemed impossible. And we thank you for it, Father. We expect great things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God, bless God. Bless God, bless God. Now, just like when you hear a word that stirs your heart, if it stops there, see, faith came. Faith-filled words were released and stirred faith in your heart. You know how people will say, boy, that was a stirring message. Yes, faith came. And if all it did was stir your heart and you didn't do anything, it's dead faith. Because what your heart was stirred to do, you should be doing. You should say, okay, I see that, Lord. I need to make a little correction here. Thank you. And you start doing. Because if all you did was get stirred to action, but no action, it's dead. It can't produce any fruit. So we need to, all of us, let the peace of God rule and reign in our hearts and minds. Let him guide us. Next time you have to make a decision and choice, let peace reign. Look on the inside. Do I have peace about this choice that I'm making? He'll give it to you. Expect it. Amen.